plunge me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again, and he caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Oh, I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Do you have the victory this morning? Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Oh, he sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love, oh, is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Oh, victory in my Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Amen. What a victory we have in Christ Jesus. I tell you, it's the strong and mighty tower that the righteous run into it. He's a present help in the time of need. He's our all in all in all these trials in life. I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you come expecting to hear from the Word today. He has something for you, and if you come expecting, you'll find it. Amen. Let's all stand as we ask Brother Terrence to come this morning to open up the service with prayer and prayer requests. Let's sing that once more. Oh, victory in Jesus. my Savior forever. Oh, He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming love. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. Good morning. Glad to see one of it. Everybody with us this morning? Remember the ones, I got my family's traveling, so be with them through all this nasty stuff in the air and on the ground. Everybody else is traveling, just be with them. We got a message from Sister Gail. It says, Brother Dick is scheduled to have a kidney stent put in on Monday. It's a very serious procedure because if it causes bleeding, he could not, well, we ain't going to say that. Could not survive, but that don't mean nothing. We're not saying that because he's going to survive and everything will be fine. The only thing is his heart doctor will not take him off of blood thinners. Because he thinks it's too risky. So they're kind of fighting with each other. But remember Brother Dick and be with him come Monday morning. Amen. Also remember Dad's sister Nervy. His oldest sister's in not doing too well at all. So remember her. And Sister Johnny called. She's having problems with her legs. Still remember her. Glad to see Brother Darty back with us. Glad to see him back with us today. Sister Susan gave one that says Cindy's test on her brain came back good. No scanning, no issues, no dementia. So we thank the Lord for that. So we thank the Lord for that. I know we all have unspoken requests this morning. Let's all go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this morning, Lord. Lord, be with the ones that are traveling. I know Matt and Brittany and the kiddos are traveling. Be with them. Keep them safe. And anyone else is traveling, be with them and guide them. Be with Brother Dick this morning, Lord. Bless him and all will be well on Monday. Lord, thank you for taking care of Cindy and remember Nervy and the family and Sister Johnny, Lord, come down and bless her and all the unspoken requests this morning. Be with them. Be with the Sunday school classes. Bless him this morning. Be with Dad. Give him strength, Lord, that we have the right attitude to listen to what's being said. Most of all, Lord, you forgive us for all of our sins and we love you for your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated.
Oh, Jesus is here. Jesus is here. And all things are possible. For Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Oh, Jesus is here, and all things are possible. Jesus is here. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. Oh, he's all that I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. Oh, I take him now. I take him now for all that I need. Oh, I take him now. I take him now for just worship him. Oh, I worship him. I worship him in spirit and in truth. Oh, I worship him. I worship Him in spirit and in truth. Let's just praise Him once more. Oh yes, I worship Him. I worship Him in spirit and in truth. Oh Lord, I worship Him. I worship Him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Ray, would you come up this morning and take up the tithes and offering? We're so thankful we can worship Him in the truth of this hour. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to page 592 in the Spiral Songbook. Let's talk about Jesus, the King of Kings is He. The Lord of Lords supreme throughout eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. Let's talk about Jesus. Let all the world proclaim the power and majesty of such a wondrous name. The babe of Bethlehem, the bright and morning star. Let's sing His praises near and far. Hallelujah. Let's talk about Jesus. The bread of life is He. The Savior of the world, the man of Galilee, the prophet, priest, and king, the mighty God is He, the well of living water free. Let's talk about Jesus, the Prince of Peace is He. The great physician too, down through all history. The lily pure and white, the rose of Sharon fair, the shepherd of such tender care. Let's talk about Jesus, the rock of ages He. The Lamb for sinners slain, that man of Calvary. The great Emmanuel, the Word of God sublime. He is our bridegroom so divine. Oh, let's talk about Jesus, the King of Kings is He. The Lord of Lords supreme throughout eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. Amen. Let's key a C. He paid a debt did not owe iota debt. I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. Oh, he paid a debt at Calvary. He cleansed my soul and set me free. I'm glad that Jesus did all my sins erase. I now can sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. And one day he's coming back for me to live with him eternally. Won't it be glory to see him on that day? I then will sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. Oh, one day he's coming back for me to live with him eternally. Won't it be glory to see him on that day? You looking forward to that? Oh, sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. Amen. Let's all stand as we sing, He is Here. Hallelujah. As Brother Colley comes forth. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy, I will bless his name again. He is here. Listen closely, hear him calling out your name. He is here, you can touch him, you will never be the same. Oh, he is here, hallelujah, he is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy, I will bless his name again. Oh, he is here. Listen closely. Hear him calling out your name. He is here. Touch him, you will never be the same.
Amen. God bless you all. Good morning. And it's a blessing to meet with Jesus Christ. So let us just surrender all of our hearts and all of our being to him while we're here. Amen. We're going to read this morning from Psalm 90. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful and we're thankful again for this privilege and this opportunity that we have to come together to worship. Father, we pray that whatever we desire in our heart, that we surrender and receive it from you. For you promise, whatsoever we have need of, we ask, Lord, that you would give us. Let us believe and know that you are real, that your word will never fail. Father, we ask you to help us and to bless us. Bless all those in the Sunday school classes and just touch them, Father, that they be strengthened from the words that they were hearing. We ask you for the scriptures that we read this morning, Father, that you will just bless it and grant it and make it real unto us. We ask you to bless Brother Dale, Father, in a special way. Just touch him, Lord, that you would grant unto him the words that we have need to hear. We pray, Father, that we will surrender and hear and believe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 90. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Thou turnest man to destruction and saith, return ye children of men.
For a thousand years in thy sight were but as yesterday and was past, and as a watch in the night.
Thou carest them away as with the flood. They are as a sheep sleep in the morning. They are like the grass which groweth up.
In the morning it flourishes.
For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled.
Thou hast set our iniquity before thee, our secret sin is in thy light.
For all our days are passed the way in thy wrath. We spend our years as that is told.
The days of our years are
who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to their fear, so is thy wrath.
So teach us to learn our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom.
Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants.
O satisfy our root with thy mercy, that we may rejoice in thy glory.
Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us and the years wherein we have seen evil.
Let thy word appear unto thy servants, and thy glory to thy children.
And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the works of our hands upon us. Yea, the works of our hands establish thou it. Amen. God bless you. Be seated.
Amen. You know, sometimes we get caught up. Sometimes we get caught up into the things of life, and we just forget about every day that we live here is a privilege that the Lord gives us. And we should remember that our days are numbered. Whether we go by the change or the grave, we should apply our hearts to the wisdom of the Lord and His Word. Amen. Let's turn to page 381. Sing this as the Sunday school classes come up this morning. Say, we live in this world, but this world is not our home. Amen. We have a heavenly home in the Word. This world is not my home. Oh, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know, oh, I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. I fixed it up with Jesus many years ago. I know he'll see me through, though I'm weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just over in glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. The songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. Then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. This world is not my home, oh, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Lord, you know I have no friend like you. Oh Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Amen. You believe that? I tell you, we're looking for a future home that's going to be on this earth, but it won't be like this world is. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand as we change the order of the service this morning. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. So open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, for I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love.
Amen.
As
we love
we sing, holy, 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 high and lifted up, shining in the light. glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Amen.
Holy, 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 you are holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 I want to see you.
Amen and amen and amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Revelations 21, where we've been reading, and we'll read from there and go on. A couple of announcements. Terrence made it, but remember, the Lord willing, tomorrow they're supposed to operate on Brother Dick. I don't know what time of the day or whatever the detail. We'll find out what time it is or what. Anyhow, Sister Gail said they were supposed to, you know, maybe do the operation. But what they're afraid of is the fact that he's been on blood pressure medicine, you know, and that would make him bleed easy. So just remember to pray for him tomorrow. We'll try our best to go and see and be there and everything. So just remember that and pray that the Lord would be with him and take care of all the things that they're having to do, because they've got to do some things. They said, I talked to him, I guess it was yesterday, you know, but they've made some more decisions and things of what they're doing. Amen. Remember that. Brother Louis wanted us to announce that there is a brother going to be down at Brother John Mark. A lot of you know him in Atlanta area. The brother's got a church there. Well, it's Austell. And there's going to be a brother there from Canada. What is it? Danquah. We'll be doing the speaking on Friday. It'll be at 6 p.m. Friday, 5 p.m. Saturday, and then there'll be a 10 p.m. on Sunday services. So if anybody wants to go or to do visit with them and all, you have the things up here to it. Yeah, Brother Louis said he's going Friday night. Anybody else that... And just contact Brother Luis on anything, you know, on the thoughts, but it will be there. Brother John Mark, amen. Remember the fellowship meeting, start announcing it for next month. Will be, Brother Pageants, is that right? Who is it? Yeah, Brother Pageants will be next month. So remember that third Saturday, and just pray the Lord would bless. We thoroughly enjoyed the spring festival yesterday. The weather was perfect. Everything was great. A lot probably wound up with a little suntan with it because it was, you know, a good day, but all the way around it was really a good time. Had a good fellowship and all. We appreciate everybody that had anything to do with fixing, getting it ready and preparing, you know, and all of the things, taking care of it. We really, truly appreciate that, and it was a great time. Wade will be gone next weekend, so he can take Wednesday if he wants to. Wednesday. That will keep him in line where he can be gone for a couple of weekends, and then we'll take care of the rest of it. But any other announcements? We've got that. It's supposed to be a birthday party today. After the evening service, is that right? Supposed to have everything ready for little David. He is 2 years old and all, and we'll be doing that this afternoon. Now, after the evening service, there'll be cake and ice cream downstairs, so remember that. Anything else? I know we always forget something, but Father, we thank you for this day and your grace and your love, Lord. We thank you for all things, and we just commit them into your hands. And we believe you that you'll take care of it. We ask you to just be with Brother Dick there, Lord, as he is going through this time and the problems that they've got and all that they've got to do this and got to do that. So if they've got to do it, then we just believe that you'll be there to take care of it, because you're greater than all that they've got to do on their end, because you're God and you change not. We ask you to just reach down and touch our brother and let everything be all right. We pray that you'd take that away, Lord, that they don't even have to operate. Because we still got time for you to come on the scene. And we ask you to just be with each one. Remember all the other sicknesses. There's many, many sicknesses among us. And Lord, just reach down and touch each one and let your loving grace be with us. Guide each one. We love you and we thank you. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I thought I had finished up on that, but we're going to continue a little bit on to this thought. And I wish you would read and study more and more on the future home. All right? And that you would read then and study, keep your thoughts and read it there on Revelation 21. Because Revelation 21, you'll see it. John sees the bride coming and describes it. He sees the city coming and describes it. And you can't tell which one he's talking about because they're identical. The city is made to our desires, right? Our thoughts are not like that of what we desire. And God said, the prophet said that God would make it according to our desires. So when you see the city, you see the bride. When you see the bride, you see the city. So that's what we want to, keep our understanding into that line and do it. And just let the Lord have his way. Okay. Verse 1, Revelation 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. See, now it's bride, but it's this city in the same paragraph, the same sentence. And I heard a voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he'll dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. Now he's going to make everything new. And look what you get. This is to the overcomer. Now remember how we taught it. Each overcomer in each church age gets what the other ages get. Right? It's not that you got the first church age, you just get so much overcoming and the last and get a great big. No. Each church age, the overcomer inherits what precedes and all. So now look, so this is the overcomer to every age now. See how you can read that then? To he that overcometh, no matter what church age he's in, what's he going to do? He shall inherit all things, and I'll be his God, and he shall be my son. Father, just bless your word and your love unto us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, keeping our thought, because that's why I want you to read the future home over and over. You say, well, I've read it. Well, read it again. Because every time you read it, you're going to get more. And there'll be more and more understanding. Or listen to the tape and things. Because it'll bring out these things and it'll bring out what I was talking about. See, when John describes the city, he describes it like the bride. All right? When he describes the bride, he describes it like a city. Because it's the same, as I said, the prophet said in the future home, he builds it according to our desires. All right. So whatever is there in this to do this, that, the other, we may read a little bit of that, later on in understanding, but it's a beautiful picture. Now I want you to follow this thought with me today and all, because we just kind of pulled up a little bit of it there this past Sunday in speaking of it. But we want to stay more or less in our thoughts today onto the earth and holding that thought, and then we'll move in later into the message part to understand, all right? Because I want you to understand. We just read where he said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. All right? Because the first heaven, first earth passed away. Now we know that it's not passed away like annihilated. Right? That's why I want you to go into the future home and read it over. It's not annihilated. I'll read you some in a minute of that. It's not totally destroyed. See, we always look at something like that. You know, when it says pass away, well, let's just blow it away. Well, where are we going? You know, I mean, if the world's blown away, why are we going? We're going to Mars, Venus, Jupiter. Where are we going to? See, what I think most people do in their mind, they can't comprehend eternity or something, you know, to be marvelous. So they just want to try to keep it down here simple. And you know, and they say, well, okay, we'll just go off to another planet because the world's blown away. Well, it's not blown away. No. Right. It's not annihilated. It's not blown away. It's just changing in one form to another, or cleansing as far as Satan is to the earth and the things. It'll be the cleansing of that. All right. And it'll be redeemed. See, we talk about redemption, but do we think about the world being redeemed? Right. Now, do we keep that in our thoughts? All right. See, then it's so beautiful when the prophet would explain it as to how he said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And he says on Satan's Eden, we gave that the first heaven will be the millennium. Because heaven, we're looking at heaven like up in the atmosphere, like over this or that or the other, or great things or what, you know, looking at it as something like that instead of looking at it as to what it's to be. All right. The millennial reign will be God ruling over earth. All right. Now that's the best definition that you'll get for redemption if you'll think about it. God ruling over earth. All right. See, we was worried. We think, well, we'll just go up into the heaven somewhere and we're going to all play harps and float around and we're going to have all this, that, and the other, you know. And we're going to think about, you know, some kind of a deal that, well, it's beyond what we got here, you know. But just think simple. All right. He's not going to annihilate the earth. Okay. The first heaven proves that. Because the first heaven is the millennial reign. The millennial reign will be 1,000 years of time upon the earth to prove the sin curse is gone from the earth. Right? Now, is that the definition the prophet gives for it? He said it's the seventh day out of Eden. See? And man is going to live 1,000 years. Somebody is. Won't matter about us because we're going to be eternal. But somebody's going to live there. Well, isn't it something for a prophet to come along and say that there'll be a heathen in the millennium that God will raise up? Because somebody's going to live 1,000 years. All right. And if we're all eternal, what has it got to do about 1,000 years? All right. But see, the millennium is heaven ruling over earth. Okay? God is going to be sitting on the throne of David, not a natural throne or things. It's just terminologies and words that you use. But he'd be sitting on the throne, ruling the whole world as the son of David. All right? Now, see, that's the millennial reign. Okay? Says, then there'll be a new earth. Now, watch what I'm talking about. Because, see, God, Armageddon comes after, or at the end of the tribulation, is the Armageddon. All right? Armageddon is just like a, there'll be things in the millennium that won't be in the future home. So there'll be things left over from Armageddon, if that's true. Yes. Armageddon will leave things that is not totally annihilated because the millennium will not be a city or something coming down and dwelling on a redeemed earth. You got to wait one more stage. I'm trying to get you the order of events to where that when you finish with it, you'll have a beautiful plan of redemption in your understanding. And you can say, well, hey, this follows this, this follows this. Hey, we got it in line. All right. But see, the millennium, Satan is just bound for 1,000 years. All right. And there'll be things there, as the prophet said, it won't be in the future home. So just take the millennium then as heaven ruling over earth, Satan bound to where that he cannot rule. Not annihilated now. He's bound and he's bound at Armageddon by a chain of circumstances. Brother Run said, really it's the point that he's don't have nobody to work through. It's so made right until he don't have nobody to work through. He said it's not a log chain holding him or something. All right. See, then there's the millennium, heaven ruling over earth for 1,000 years. All right. Because that's what he said. He said, what is the new heaven? He said, that would be the millennium. And what is the new earth? See, the new earth, once the millennium takes place, you still got a problem. Because you've got a lot of things that needs to be destroyed. All right. Then you have Gog and Magog to come. And that will be a total annihilation of all demons, all stuff like that. Everything. Satan is not just bound. He's destroyed. Everything is destroyed that it is not of God at Gog and Magog. All right. And see, then you come forth with a new earth. In other words, you can take the millennium coming into Armageddon. You can see that there will be a lot of nuclear destruction probably. Because once they start shooting off bombs, or anybody does, everybody else is going to start pushing buttons too. And then it's going to be a nuclear destruction. But Gog and Magog won't be a nuclear destruction. That'll be God destroying. He even destroys all demons. Everything. And you come forth with a new earth. Not a different earth. Not another earth instead of this one. But you come forth with a redeemed earth. Then the city comes down. Now you get to layout, see? I'm trying to make you follow the layout in your mind. See? The new city don't come down in the millennium. Now you got 1,000 years of earthly reign of God ruling over earth. We'll be there with him, ruling and reigning for 1,000 years. All right. Then at the end of that 1,000 years, Satan's loosed. And it goes forth and there'll be a time there that all kind of problems can take place. But then there'll be a Gog and Magog, which will be destroying all demons, all things, all people that are not right, everything that's, you know, no sin can go there. But it'll start with Armageddon, see, not being a total annihilation, but Gog and Magog, even to the demons being destroyed. Now, I want you to get that and hold that in your mind. See, then you can separate Armageddon from Gog and Magog. Because you got the two battles there in the book of Revelations. All right. And see, but when Gog and Magog comes, it'll burn off the whole earth, and God will redeem it. He doesn't, now listen to the word. He doesn't redeem it at the millennium. He just uses it. But he will redeem this earth through Gog and Magog. Will redeem, and he'll come forth with a redeemed entire earth. Then the city can come down. See, so we're tied up somewhere. You know, we don't have no, you know, we're not out there battling. I've heard that in the people of the message, you know, preachers say, oh, wonder in the millennium, we're going to come riding back with him on white horses, and we're just going to fight, and we're going to kill, and we're going to. You're in a glorified body? Is the rest of them in glorified bodies? No, 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 we're going to kill them. Well, what are you going to kill them with? What are you going to do? All you got to do is speak it. See, but that's where people get their ideas, and they want to make some thought. Just solve the problem. Go step by step of what the prophet says, and then you got it done. Next thing's the rapture. Order of events, right? Next thing's the rapture. After that, the two witnesses in your tribulation period for 3.5 years. Then you got Armageddon coming right at the end of that 3.5 years tribulation. Then you got what? So you're going to step by step. You go into the millennium from Armageddon, into the millennium, and then from the millennium, see, you go to the next stage, and you'll go, and you'll have Gog and Magog, and then you'll have the future home. The last thing is the future home coming down. It's not the redemption of the earth. The redeeming of the earth is Armageddon. Then you have the future home coming down on a redeemed earth. Well, Gog and Magog, yeah. You put them together. Armageddon first, Gog and Magog second. Okay. And you wind up with a beautiful picture of the plan of redemption. Because by the time you reach that future home, Brother Brown said, there ain't no more sin. He said, there ain't no death. I'll just write these on the side of my Bible as I hear him say it. He said, there's no more death, no more sorrow. The scripture says those things. But the city is, the last is the city. Alright? Prior to Armageddon, you have a millennium temple, or right after it, you have a millennium temple to be erected on earth.
That's correct. Amen.
For the millennium.
Amen.
Now, that's what your prophet said. He gives you the scripture, everything. All right. But see, then, there is no temple. We're going to read that and study those parts. There's no temple in the future home.
Amen.
God is the temple.
Amen.
But I want you to see the plan of redemption. Because that's where I love it. When Brother Branham goes into the future home, he's going to try to describe a city. You read it and you'll get it. He's going to try to describe a city that he sees coming down from John. And he automatically gets into justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, what happened in the days of Noah, what happened in the days of the Lord Jesus, what happens over here in the fiery baptism. He's trying to explain it, and when he does, he said, if you don't get nothing else, get the plan of redemption. Because that's what he was explaining, the plan of redemption to us to where we could understand. All right. So then remember one thing. If you want to go to it, you can go to, they can pull it up if they want to, number 2, but it's in the future home. It's not destroying the world. It's destroying sin.
Amen.
It's not annihilating, right? So he gives the big word for it. He said, and he covers it, you know, what that word means. It means to pass away. All right? Now, you should have studied the message. You know, those out on the internet, go to the future home. Read the future home and see what the prophet was saying. It's a beautiful story of redemption.
Amen.
giving you each step, each stage of the journey of redemption. You say, well, is the world going to be redeemed? Why not? See, that's what's always tore me up is the thought. When you're looking at something the prophet is trying to explain, and he's explaining redemption, why do you want to redeem something just a little bit? You know what I mean? Why do you want to just whitewash it? You know, why not say redeemed? Why not believe in redemption? And that redemption would be something made new. And that's why he covers it in Revelation. By chapter 21, he said, all things are made new.
Amen.
Amen. Well, what I believe is that we're just going to go along here and it's going to wipe all this off. And then it's going to just turn around and start back over an old world again. You know what's wrong with you? You don't have enough faith to believe that God can take care of all of it. So you want to make sure to keep just a little bit, just in case you don't make it, that you can drop in the ground and holler and scream about the earth or something. You understand what I'm saying? The prophet said the word redeem is what? Take you back to where you come from. Is that redeem? All right. The world came into existence one day, right? It was created. Okay. It's to be redeemed. Then the city comes down. After the redeeming of the earth. See, the world is going to be cleansed off, do away with sin, do away with all of that, and come forth not just a Garden of Eden. See, are you wanting it to just be turned back to a Garden of Eden style? Now, I know I'm touching on some itchy feelings, so I like to touch them just a little bit. Why do you not believe in a redeeming to make something eternal? Why do you want to just redeem it back to a Garden of Eden situation? Right? Are you listening? Do you want your soul redeemed? But I want it just a little bit enough left until I can sin just a tad and still be all right. Do you want to hold on to yourself so much till you want just a little bit of the old person left? That's itchy feelings. Because you see, I know the human being and I know how we think. Why not believe in Satan being annihilated out of your soul? Oh yeah, I believe that, Brother Dale. But I've just got my own thoughts now. This is just my thoughts. I like that. You know right real quick you're going to get some garbage. Come on. You know right real quick when you start saying, this is my thoughts. I don't care whether it's you or me or who it is. When we come to our thoughts, it's garbage can. Because that's the garbage can it comes out of. Are you getting the point? I've been thinking on this all week of trying to express something to get you to see. Do we believe in redemption? Or do we believe in just enough cleansing until it can become good? I had an old man years ago, and I tried to talk to him. Me and Brother Moat both did. They got a little thing, a little doctrine going. Some of you may have heard of it. And they were talking about babies being born in the millennium. I know the quote. Brother Brown said it looked like they will. It looked like they won't. But I just asked one simple question. Because that's what I asked the man. I thought the bride, by the time the millennium comes, was to be in a full glorified body, body, spirit, and soul to be made eternal. Now, is that your thoughts of redemption? Or do you think you just got a little bit redeemed? Now, come on, I'm sorry to be nasty and hateful. But what I saw was an old man. An old man in his 70s. Thinking, we're going to have babies in the millennium. I didn't have to have discernment to read his mind. Get it? And I'll move on. I knew what he was thinking. A glorified body? When sex was the original sin, you know what I mean? The attribute? See, he had in his mind. How many did that expose today? Come on. That's not redemption. He said, well, the prophet said he didn't know. I ain't telling you what's right. I'm telling you what can't be. You can't have sex in a glorified body. Because there's nothing to have it with. Sorry, I'm plain. But it's too tight. I've got to say it like it is. And then you turn around and say, well, I think it's this way. Well, go with your thoughts. Because I listen to people that are talking. Well, I think that, you know, we could do it. What do you think? You think, well, this world here, we're going to wipe it off. We're going to totally annihilate it. We're going to go to Mars. Well, what are you going to Mars for? Jupiter, what are you going to? Why don't you do what the Bible's doing? Because that's what your prophet was doing. When he preached the future home, you're not listening even to the title of the message. How many of you even know the title of the message? What is future home? It's the future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride. Because once it's redeemed, you ain't have no problem. So listen, what are you talking about then? The millennium will be a great cleansing. Armageddon will be a great cleansing for the millennium to take place. But there'll be things there that won't be in the future home later on. But Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. Where he cannot tempt anybody or do anything wrong in that 1,000 years, but then he'll be loosed. And the Bible says he'll go forth and deceive the nations. The prophet said he brings them up to Gog and Magog. One time he says he looses them to raise their, to bring forth, in other words, in a resurrection has to come up. I don't understand all that. Don't claim to. I'm just trying to tell you the truth of what I do see. A future home. Don't worry about the city till we get the earth redeemed. The city can't come down on earth that's not redeemed. It can't come on a t-
time element world of situations are still bad things. Right. If it's redeemed, it's made eternal. Amen. This world is to be made eternal. Amen. Well, that's where I think, oh, we can be made eternal, but the world can't. I just don't believe it's enough. You know, you don't believe God is enough to take care of it. Why don't you say what you're talking about? You don't believe enough in redemption to be able to make the world eternal. Why not? Because if the world can't be made eternal, your body can't be made eternal. Come on, may I quote Brother Branham? You know, the Lord Jesus' body was not eternal and had to be redeemed or made eternal at the resurrection and the change. Not that he was sinful and no part of that, but it was the fact that he had a beginning. Anything that has a beginning has to have an ending to it, right? So the world had a beginning. It has to have an ending to that part of it that existed under and used of sin by the devil. But it'll come forth into an eternal age. Why don't you want to believe in an eternal age? Why would you not want to believe in eternity like that? Why would you not want to believe in an eighth day of eternal life? No types and shadows no more. It comes forth eternal. You don't think I got a right to believe? You got a right to believe what you want to. But just remember, when you speak to me, I'm going to speak back to you and tell you I don't believe it. Sorry for that now, because I'm me, you're telling me what you believe. So allow me the right to say I don't believe it. Then you say why, and then I'll be glad to show you. What? Because you see, getting the stage correctly, you get the millennium, and then you get Gog and Magog. And the world is made eternal. Then the city comes down. Upon an entire redeemed earth, your prophet said, in the future home. Why? Because there was the Lord Jesus standing on the River Jordan. And down come God onto a redeemed earth. And what did he say? He said, from this part of the earth I have redeemed, and from that part of the earth, which was the body of the Lord Jesus, he said, I will redeem the rest of it. In the resurrection, his body was made eternal. Amen. Well, the world has to reach that stage. Amen. That's why we preach so hard about it, because this message is the message to bring the body to a change. Amen. Not annihilation of our bodies, but bringing it to a change that our body can be made eternal. Amen. Our soul is eternal by the new birth. Amen. We're waiting the redemption of the spirit and body. The earth will be redeemed and become a new creation. The earth will be redeemed and become a new creation. A new creation is not the old creation made over. It's a new creation. Okay? Not destroyed, but made new or redeemed. Are made eternal. See? All right, are you following me? Whether you believe it or not, I'm asking you, do you understand what I'm talking about? Then that way it goes to God to reveal it. That's not up to me. All right. So then his body was redeemed at the resurrection. But remember now, his body was not redeemed right there on the River Jordan. You know, it wasn't made eternal right there. He had a body that had to go on and die. But it was done as far as God was concerned. All right. As far as God is concerned, this whole world's already redeemed. But he's got to wait until the time of that. Right? See? the new city. See, I dare to say in our minds that we think a lot of times, and how much did we confuse it with the future home? See, the future home is not the world. The future home is the city that comes down on the world. Sure, the world's redeemed, it's made eternal. But the future home is really the city that comes down. The future home is the dwelling place of the bride of Jesus Christ with her husband. It's your home. Made, as the prophet said, according to your desires. See, how many thought about it? Well, I think the future home is a new world. And you, no, no, get that laid out and right. The scripture's right. You got a millennial reign. It's even stated that. If you'd look at it, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. I know you don't think like I do. I know. I'm glad the whole world don't think like I do. But I think that's in reverse order of what it ought to be. But it can't be to be what's right. Yeah. My mind says that ought to be, I saw a new earth and a new heaven. Does your mind think that way? But it can't be. The Bible's perfectly right. It's a new heaven and a new earth. Because the millennium has got to come before there can be a new earth. Because the millennium is here in time. Right? So the Bible's perfectly right. It just doesn't fit our human terminologies. Because the first heaven, the first earth, is passed away. The millennium one day will be passed away. This old natural earth will go through a redemption form to be rejuvenated. Read that in the future home. Notice how much time he spends on it. I ask you to just read, because to me, I'm not... I forget it. See, the new city will descend upon a new earth. And the city will be the future home of the heavenly bridegroom and what used to be the earthly bride. Because we're all earthly. But when we're redeemed, we won't be earthly bride anymore. But you got to start from our earthly bride. A new creation. Not the old creation made new. It's a new creation. The city will come down upon the redeemed earth. The city will come down upon the redeemed earth. And it's not that he's going to come down here and, I mean, we ain't got to go over there. In the millennium, that's why this thing's a millennium, not in the future home. In the millennium, they could be building houses and doing this and doing that and doing, but the future home won't be nothing built by mankind. Amen. It'll never be built, every bit of it will be built by God himself. Right? I read real careful when I'm reading it. And I noticed Brother Branham explaining something. He's talking about those kings of the earth. He said they bring their honor and glory into the city. And he first uses the word toil or works. Then he switches it real quick. And I'm watching that because I know what his point. He was thinking like all the rest of us. But when it finished, there won't be no toil and labor in the future home. There won't be no house building in the future home. You have things in the millennium you don't have. There'll be a temple built in the millennium. But there won't be no temple in the future home. Because God is the temple. The Lamb is the temple. Right? See, the new city will come down upon a redeemed entire earth. Because that's exactly what happened when the Lord Jesus was standing there, and down come the redemptive plan. This part of the earth I've redeemed. And from this part of the earth, I'll redeem the rest of it. Okay? Remember, the world or earth, excuse me, using the word earth, is first made new, and then the city will come down. The earth has to be made new, all right? Example of that is the fact of what will take place in the millennium. I set a type, example, to take place in the millennium, called in the millennium, God will be ruling over earth. Then when the earth is made new or redeemed, the city can come down. Huh? Now don't get tied up in your thoughts. Keep it straight. We come riding back into millennium as the anointing to the temple, but now we don't come riding back into future home. We are the one that's riding back. We are the one that's descending. Right? In the millennial reign, the earth will be going through the plan of redemption. Right? Now the earth. Because it was washed in the days of Noah. Right? Justification. It was cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Drop it on it to cleanse it and claim it. But it's got to have a fiery baptism. The earth is not redeemed in the millennium. It's in the process of redemption. It's still under a seven. Time is still in the millennium. But it'll get a fiery baptism, which is Gog and Magog. Then the city can come down. Now watch. We'll probably drop back to this next Sunday, but I want you to get a point now. The bride will be able to live in the city because it's her home. It's her house. It's her place that God has made for her. She'll be able to sit here in the millennium with him on the throne. But she won't be in her home. She has to wait until Gog and Magog cleanses it all. Then she can come forth. Her home can come. Her real home can come. She's just on a honeymoon in the millennium. Is that your words of your prophet? See, the kings of the earth, the prophet said, and the others, will not be able to live in the city. Now let's raise up. We'll drop back and review this later. But I want this point in your thought, because while we're talking about that earth, when it's fully redeemed, then the city can come down. You say, well, I just don't believe the world will be made eternal. Why not? Why would you not want to believe it's made eternal? That's what I'm saying. You say, well, I just don't believe it'll be made eternal. I just got my idea. Your idea is showing that you don't believe in redemption. You believe in partial redemption. And you're holding on to some sinful act of human humanity to try to justify our thinking. Sorry. But you tell me if I'm wrong. Why would you not want an eternal world? Why would you not want the earth to be made eternal if your body, spirit, and soul is eternal? Maybe you don't believe your body, spirit, and soul can be. See, why is it that the kings of the earth, they can bring their glory and honor, according to Revelations 21, 22 through 27. Why is it that they can't stay? Because it's not their home. I love company. Don't you? But brother, now let me quote him. I'll quote Brother George Smith. I'll get him in trouble and leave me out of it. He said, company's like fish. He said, after 3 days, you throw out the fish. Right? So you get him in trouble. He's the one who made the statement. I didn't make it. I just quoted him. Okay. I love company, you know, but there's a time then you want to be at home with your wife and kids or whatever you've got there left. But really you've got a home is for you and your wife. I love my kids. I love the grandkids and all of like that. And I love for them to come to the house and visit with us. We have a good time. They come and they sit down and we play games. We have a good time as a family. We eat together and all. That's good. But you know what? After a while, I like for me and my wife to be by ourselves. Yeah, right? Because right? It's our home. Yeah, and I don't want somebody coming in, you know, changing my home. Right. Company comes in, they like to change your home for you. Right? Move things around. You know. Okay. But listen. Why is it that the bride gets to live in the city? Why does she live in the city when the rest can't? Pull up number 6A and let's read that one just where you'll see what I'm talking about. I give them numbers and then give them extra numbers. And 6A is Revelation 21. Go ahead. And I saw no temple therein. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God will lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved. By the time the future home comes, everything saved will be saved. You done went through between the millennium and Gog and Magog, you got a white throne judgment.
Right.
And everything's settled.
Right.
So by the time you come to the future home and the city coming down, everything that's going to be saved is saved. Amen. Saved means saved from where you was going. It doesn't mean born again. Right. It doesn't mean those things. I'll read you the quote from the prophet in a minute. Right. Amen. Okay. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. They're going to get to walk in the light of the city. They'll get to walk in the city, but they just have to go out. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. The gates of it shall not be shut. And all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. I like when you get on over there in a little bit and you're talking about the tree of life and how that is growing. Have you ever noticed the tree of life over in the book of Revelations? The bride can eat the fruit. But everybody else gets the leaves. They don't get the fruit. That's the Bible now. I love that. We get the fruit. They get the leaves. They can be saved from their sin, saved from destruction, saved from being lost, but they're not saved like the bride. Right? I'll get to that in a minute. But why? Think in your mind. Why does the bride get to stay in the city? Number one is, she's part of the city. Why? Because according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, all things are to become new. Now that's like it says in Revelation, it'll all be made new. Galatians says, none of these things avail much, but a new creation does. Amen. A new creation. A new creature in Christ Jesus. The born again Christian is a new creature in Christ Jesus. Right? Do we need to go through all of that for you to understand? The new birth makes you a new creature. Why is it this age, you don't pay no attention to those folks? The message to this age, it says he's the beginning of the creation of God. And Brother Branham says we are the rest of that creation. The beginning of the creation of God was God in human flesh upon earth through the womb of a Virgin Mary. That's according to your prophet. And you and I are the rest of that creation, are the continuation of that creation. And by the time we get to there, we'll have bodies like unto his glorious body. To the future home. A new creature. A new creation. The city's built according to your desires. Because you're a new creature. You have a right to stay in that city. But nobody else can't stay in it. They say, well, what about, see, you jump up. Okay, we'll go ahead. What about the 144,000? They're servants or eunuchs to the bride, no matter where you put them. They're in the millennial reign. I have found no statement that I know of that Brother Branham covers this on, say, the future home of doing this, that, and the other. If you find it, I'd love to find it. But I know one thing for sure. If they're eunuchs to the bride and have eternal life in the millennial reign and rule there, I mean, are there to be servants for the bride, then they'll still be servants because they're not going to be made children of God. See, the future home is made for the children of God. God's own offspring. Foolish virgins are not God's offspring. They're impartation of eternal life given unto them. They're not part of the body of Christ. See, the body of Christ is that little bride. And she exactly fits the city. The city exactly fits her. John could describe the city and talk about the bride. He could describe the bride, talk about the city. He could just go either way. It didn't bother him because he knew what it meant. But what does it mean to you? What about it? See, everybody else can't stay in that city because they're not part of it. They're not his children. Well, if you give an eternal life, that makes you a child of God. I had more understanding of that in the Baptist church. Now, I'm sorry, because we taught in the Baptist church that there was foolish virgins that didn't get eternal life the way the bride got eternal life. We taught that enough then. How much more is it now? See, an impartation is different from a birth. Your bride is a born-again Christian going through justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The closest your foolish virgin could go would be sanctification. And it'd be left like I was saying there a while ago. The world in the days of Noah was washed. That's justification. The days of Jesus was sanctification. Then it gets a fiery baptism one day. Holy Ghost and fire, the Bible calls it. What about it? I'm asking you to just listen and think. The bride is the only one that can stay in the city. Why? Because it's her home. By then, she will be totally eternal. Body, spirit, and soul. You'd have to agree to that. She don't have to wait till fiery baptism. Come on, I'm in the future home. Well, I'm asking you to believe it. If you ain't going to go read it, at least you could believe what's said. The prophet covers in the future home that we are ahead of the world. Right? You remember that? The world is still in the days of, the best it could be would be in the days of the blood of Jesus Christ. It hasn't had a fiery baptism yet. But you and I have already went through justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, giving us eternal life in our soul. By the time we reach the future home, we'll be eternal in body. But if not, if you don't believe it that way, what would be your purpose of going? You wanting to move to another planet? Well, I think we could just go to another planet and start over. Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. You don't like me to be that plain. You still have that lust part. You take that and do what you want to with it. I'm human, but I'm your pastor. These children understand terminologies. I thought we believed in teaching our children right to stay away from the world and the things of the world. But I don't want you using bad words, brother. I ain't used a bad word yet. I've used some terminologies you probably don't like, but I ain't used no bad word. And your children can understand what I'm talking about. But do you understand? I'm talking about salvation for you and me. Don't worry about the future home until you get the earth right. You say, what do you mean by that? I mean plain language. Don't worry about going to heaven until you get heaven right. You realize we get ours here. That's why we can go there. We get the change of the body. You remember what I was bringing out the other night? Or last Sunday? The bride is the only one that does not have to die to inherit all things. Now some will keep on dying, yeah, but somebody's going to be changed. The fifth sealed Jew, 144,000, foolish virgins, all of those have to die to be able to go to a future part. Come on, church. Time to get down serious to thinking about what we're doing. If we are a new creature according to the Bible, we're a new creature in Christ. If we're a new creature in Christ, well, then old things are passed away. But we're waiting the redemption of the body. And that's what I'm trying to get you to see right now, the stages that it's set in. This world has been through justification. It is in the stage of sanctification. The millennium is still under the sevens and all. But then one day, all will be made new or eternal. Once it's made eternal, then the city can come down. You say the city can come down? Well, I thought, let's see if, am I right now? I thought by the new birth that it made us resurrected, sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. By the new birth. I thought that was what it made us. I thought it made our soul eternal, waiting the redemption of the body. But this message would bring the entire plan of redemption unto us. Look at that great message he preached on the future home. Because our thinking, as I tried to explain it to you, all churches used to teach that number seven was a rest day. I heard that in the Baptist church, that it was a rest, that the eternal life was rest. But we had no thoughts of the redemption of the body. That's why we believe we were going to get a new one. Come on, ever organized religion. You name me one organized religion that don't believe they're going to get a new body. You want to name a few in this message, about half of this message, after all Brother Branham has said, still believes that we're going to get a new body. Why? Because they don't believe that the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient to redeem this body. It could do some supernatural thing and save the soul, but can't do the bodies. Because we just got to be these bodies. We can't help these bodies. Just remember, I'm not all that hard. You don't sin with your body. You sin from your spirit that's within you. You can't sin from your body. It has nothing to do other than display what your sin is. Do you want to stay with some kind of a display? But why does organized religion believe you're going to get a new body? Why does the people of this message believe that way? Listen to what you're listening to on these internets. I've got one brother in mind. If you ask me what that brother believed in getting a new body or this body redeemed, I'd tell you, I don't know. And I've known him 40 years. But I couldn't tell you what. Because one time he's new, the next time he's redeemed. But do you listen to that like that? I just don't want to. I want this world thrown away and get me a new world. I want this old body thrown away and get me a new body. Why? The Lord Jesus was so hooked to redemption until when he resurrected in his glorified body, he still had nail prints in his hand and not scars in his side. He must have believed in redemption. But what do we believe? Come on. The nation shall not be able. They can come into the city. but they got to go back out. As they're going out, as I said, the Bible said they take a leaf. The prophet said it's for the healing of the nations. That they won't have no war no more. They don't get the fruit. Now watch what I'm saying. Where's the seed of an apple? Is it in the leaves? Last time I checked, it was in the apple. You know, that's what a guy told me at work one time. We got talking about pecans, and you know, there's an old thing, runner comes out about like that on a pecan that hangs down. And he said, yep, said, that's where that pecan grows, another pecan tree. I said, what? He said, yeah, I said, it's from that thing that hangs out there and drops out. I said, man. I said, the seed is in the pecan. That's the only way to get another pecan tree is plant a pecan. No. I said, I'll make a deal with you. And I done it. I said, I'll make a deal with you. I said, you plant a bushel of them stragglers and hangers, whatever, hanging off. And I said, I'm going to go home and plant me a pecan. I knew how to speed it up. I said, I'll get me a pecan. I'll bring it to you. And I'll show you the life is in the pecan, not in the little old thing that hangs off. So I did. I cracked it and I kept it warm. I got it split open. I took it back down there to it. I said, now you produce a seed. You get what I'm saying? They get to take the leaves for the healing of the nations. That's wonderful. We get the apples off of the trees. We get the seed off the trees. We get the glorious things. Listen. Let me say this way. I'll just make the point. Let me say it this way. There ain't going to be no need of the moon, stars, and things in the city. But now outside, the prophet said, they can be the, even in the future home. Read it. He said they can be the things that those outside. But I've told you, there's no way for it to go black, dark. Because there ain't going to be no clouds to cover over the moon. And no matter where the moon's at, the sun's at. It's going to be light enough for you to be able to exist. Right? But there ain't no light in the city. Because the Lamb is the light. Right? The Lamb is the light. Well, I just don't see that. I can't understand. There got to be some kind of a situation that makes light. What are you wanting? A lightning bug? What are you walking? What are you talking about? You realize the outer courts of the temple. It had daylight, nighttime, right? Inside was the candles, right? Had to be made sure and kept lit. But you realize in the Shekinah glory, there was no night. There was no night. Behind that, or in that inner veil, the Shekinah glory was the light. You realize that what I'm saying, everywhere he's at is light. You realize that whole city will be lit up because everywhere we're at is light. It won't be that the outside people will look at you and see you glowing. I'm not that far. Maybe it is, but I don't think. It's just a point of view of what I'm talking about. Wherever he is light. And in him is no darkness whatsoever. Even back in the Old Testament, you had the daylight and the dark. Outer court. Inner court, you had candlelight. Seven candles had to be kept lit, make sure. But in behind the veil, you had no darkness. It was eternal. But don't even worry about trying to figure out your mind how a big city that's 1,500 square miles, et cetera, can be seen from all over the world. I'm quoting Brother Branham. How it would be a lot. If he could do it behind a veil, under tops and shadows. The prophet said a soft glowing light, the Shekinah glory, was behind a veil. Be no problem. Everywhere he's at is light. Are you with me? Let's stand. Come on, musician. Think on these things. I'm trying to preach the plan of redemption. Trying to take what's said and just bring it down to where we can see. Because come on, think about it, church. Remember this, the way the prophet described that priest. They had a veil there that they put the manna in to keep it where the priest, it didn't take it back out and spread it to everybody. It was left behind a veil and it never spoiled. The reason it was there, it was for the new priest to come on. And each time a new priest came on, he was allowed to reach over in that pot and take a piece of that, which was the same manna that they started with when Moses sent Aaron in. The same manna. He was allowed to go in and take a piece of it and bite it. He wouldn't have put it in his pocket and carried it out or spread it to anybody else. That manna stayed behind the veil. In the presence. You remember one of the priests one day, he messed up and left his cane back there. That would be an almond bush that it took off of. You know why? Because in the presence of that Shekinah glory, it budded and blossomed and bore almonds. Don't worry about whether or not this world could see the light or what's going to be. What kind of a light would it be? He's the light. But I like what I was trying to bring out there the other day. And I'll back up on it again next time. The Bible says you're the light. You're the light. So when we get there, there won't be nobody to worry about it. It'll be, we're the light. Right? Great thing to be able to stay in that city because you're part of it. Anybody got a need? Come, what we got, brother?
Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin.
Yes, Lord.
Washed in the blood of Jesus, I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out and show me the way. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin.
See Brother Dick, so we're going to pray over at 4 o'clock and take it to him.
Washed in the blood of Jesus.
Let's reach down and do it, Brother Al. Lord, you've got to go Tuesday for a...
Hallelujah,
let everything be all right.
Save, save, save by His wonderful grace.
In Jesus' name.
I'm so glad that I found out He has brought me out and showed me the way.
If I said something that's offensive to you,
for a long time I traveled.
I wish you'd come and try to preach sometime. And
down a long, lonely road.
Not justifying nothing, it's just a human.
My heart was so heavy, and sin I sank low. Then I heard about Jesus.
And then read this later.
Oh, what a wonderful hour.
Okay, all right.
I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out through His holy power.
Are Our sister has a prayer request that she wants us to read. She said, I have a prayer request. I know what the truth is. I believe in Brother Branham, and I know the truth in this message. And I know this is not because I grew up in this church. It's inside of me. The last thing I want is to be, what now? I don't want to be a hypocrite. All right, I'll read it that way. In this church, I would rather die and go straight to hell before I play with this message. I don't have the courage to live the life of a believer, so I have accepted and know for a fact if I died now, I'm going to hell because I don't live according to Brother Branham's preaching. Pray for me. If God truly wants me to be his bride and a genuine believer, for him to make it happen to me. Okay? Let's just pray for our sister and believe for salvation for her, because that's what she's needing. Right? With the brothers, Wade, Brother Aaron. Come on, Terrence. Let's just pray with our sister, because the one thing she needs is salvation. She's saying that to us in her words, in her thoughts, that she desires to be what this message says. Don't want to be a hypocrite about it. Okay? Well, let's just pray for salvation, because that's the thing. That's what she needs. She needs salvation.
Amen.
So let's ask God to save our sister's soul and to make her to be what he wants her to be. And deliver her from herself and problems and things. And just let her rest in him, okay? All of you pray now. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we lay our hands upon our sister. Knowing that Satan and all of his powers of hell has fought against our sister. But we believe you. She wants to be right. She has the desire in her heart to be right. So you go according to that, Lord, and you just reach down and touch her. And you take away that problems in life. We're all human. We all have troubles. But we just don't have to yield to those things. And we just ask you, Father, to fill her with the love of that you, Lord, have given unto all of your true bride. She wants to be that. So change her and make her in the inward man of the soul, to redeem that soul and make all to be well. We believe you and we thank you now in Jesus' name.
Because he
sister, you go. We all have problems. We're human. But when they come, just say, well, I went to the altar. And I've accepted Jesus Christ. So now, take away all these problems and just watch them pass away from you. But don't think you won't be tempted. Before you get to your seat, you're going to have wrong thoughts. I mean, I'm serious. I'm as honest as I can be about it. You can't approach something to have this, everything gone. No. Satan's going to be there. But you just remember, we prayed right here. And you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. All right. Now you go confess it. When he starts coming, say, Lord, save me. Yeah, but I don't, yeah, save me. Just say, save me, Lord. And just worship him and sing unto him in the glory, huh? Okay.
All fear
is gone. Anybody else that have a need?
Oh, because I know.
See, it's just simply believing.
He holds my
of what he done for us.
And life is
to make us his children.
The living.
See, that's the ones that's going to be in that city. It's his offspring.
So just lift your hands and worship him.
Because not confessors, but possessors of eternal life.
I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone because I know, yes, I know he holds my future and life. The living just because he lives, because he lives.
Anybody else can just have a
oh, I can face tomorrow
right.
Because he lives. Hallelujah.
Our brother has a great desire.
All fear is gone.
We just ask you.
Because I know, yes I know, he holds
all he has to do
a future.
That's what you say.
And life is worth the living just because he lives. I can face tomorrow because he lives. All my fears are gone because I know, yes, I know who holds my future. This life is worth the living just because my Lord lives. Oh, because he lives, I can face tomorrow because he lives. All my fears are gone, and because I know, yes, I know he holds my future. This life is worth the living just because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all my fears are gone. Because I know, yes, I know he holds my future. And this life is worth the living just because my Lord lives. Because he lives, oh, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all my fears, they're gone. I know he holds my future. This life is worth the living just because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Oh, because I know he holds my future. This life is worth the living just because he lives.
I fell. This thing hit my face. It turned to $600. I have to pay like $700 a month for my violin, and then like $600.